You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hard to do and takes ages longer than it might seem. You got to kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you got to take it up a notch, but you don't want to blow your wad, so then you got to cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
That's funny. Gosh, where are we going? I don't even know who's next.
I think it's awesome, Scott.
I think it's you, man. I think it's you, dude. Yep, I think it's okay.
I'm going to go with a concert that I just had a lot of fun at. This was not – there's no special moments. There was – you know, nothing really jumped out at me, but I just remember it being just – I had a blast at this concert. And that was Whitesnake opened up for Motley Crue. This was 87. And it was the Whitesnake self-titled album, which had, you know, Still the Night and Here I Go Again. And then Motley Crue was the Girls, Girls, Girls tour. So it was just a lot of fun, upbeat music, good stuff. And I went with my best friend Jim down at back in California and a couple girls that we were hanging out with. And we just had a blast at this show. And I do remember this was the introduction of Tommy Lee's drum set doing the rollover cage thing.
I don't care who you are or how you feel about Motley Crue. That was just freaking cool.
That was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
I love Motley Crue, of course.
Yeah.
Go on.
Motley Crue. It was just an amazing show. And the other, actually, Whitesnake's drummer, hold on, I just had his name at the time. He played with like a bunch of people. Oh my gosh. I was just looking at it. Forget it. It's gone.
Tommy Aldridge.
Thank you.
It's gone.
Thank Google.
Wow, you got that. That was quick. I just had it in front of me a few minutes ago. That's crazy. So anyway, Tommy Aldridge had an amazing drum solo. And then, you know, Whitesnake opening up for Motley Crue at the time. It was kind of weird because David Coverdale had been around for a long time. And Whitesnake had been around for a while. And for them to be the opening act for Motley Crue, even though Motley Crue had been this... You know, they kind of skyrocketed from Shout at the Devil into Theater Pain and then Girls, Girls, Girls. But it just ended up being just one of my favorite shows. Just overall, the whole thing, start to finish, was just a blast to be at. And both drummers just really brought it. And then Rudy Sarzo with Whitesnake, awesome bass solo, and just, it was... There was a lot of hair, a lot of big hair there that show. I mean, think about it. That was the era of the big hair for hair metal, for sure. So anyway, that's my last pick. So.
Excellent pick. I'm sure that was a party and a concert just happened to happen there.
It was a party. Yeah, it was a party. There's.
I saw Whitesnake too, and there's a story there, but that didn't make my list. But yes, Whitesnake, that was a great, great show.
And when did you see Motley?
Me?
Yeah.
Gosh. Again, Alpine Valley.
Okay.
It was their Dr. Feelgood tour.
Oh, okay.
Year was that was, yeah.
Yeah, that was like 90, 89, 90, 89. Chris? Mm-hmm. Warren?
What?
What year was that?
What year was what?
Oh, here, I'll look it up.
Oh, 89. 89,
okay. I know. Yeah, I knew we had talked about it on the metal show when we did all the albums. So, and you liked it. You like that album, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I was never.
I like Dr. Feelgood. Yeah.
How about you, Robin?
What's that?
How about you, Robin? Did you like Motley Crue at the time?
Oh, I don't think anyone could escape Motley Crue. There was at least one song that you liked. I liked early Motley Crue. I mean, they were kind of goth in their own way with all of that elaborate get up from the Shout at the Devil days.
Yeah.
But
I can see the crossover there. That's a good point.
Too Fast for Love.
You know, and Smoking in the Boys' Room. I mean, everyone knew that freaking song. And, you know, weird things. So, like, being a Florida girl, growing up in Southeast Florida, in the Girls, Girls, Girls song, when he name checks like the most famous strip club in Fort Lauderdale, like you're like weirdly proud of it for some reason.
Weirdly proud of it. That's a really good way to say it. That's funny. That is good stuff. Yeah. Because you're not sure if you should be proud of it or is it not such a great thing?
Right.
Or just keep that under wraps. So Tommy Lee has I don't know if it's a biography or autobiography, but there's a book out there. Don't ask me the name of it, but I read it many years ago. It's very, very interesting. Easy read. It just tells the story of his life and being in the band and the things that they did. And, you know, the whole cliche is pretty true. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But it's a very, very interesting read.
So Chrissy,
yes,
let's diverge here for a second, because I feel like Vince and Tommy got all the attention, but I was a Nikki Six girl. What about you? Okay.
I was a Vince Neil girl. My sister was a Nikki Six fan, however. Yeah. But Mick Mars, I don't know that. Was anybody a fan of Mick Mars? I'm not sure.
I think Mick Mars actually was a vampire.
Well, he had a good 15 years on all the guys. Like, he was much older than the rest
of the group. Yeah. So for us young girls, you know, he wasn't that cute. You know what I mean?
No, that's I like Nikki Six because he was dirty hot.
There you go. Yes, he definitely was.
You knew you were going to get into some trouble. And also, 6 a.m. got a lot of critical flack, but I really like 6 a.m.
I like 6 a.m. too. Do you know, Chrissy, do you know who 6 a.m. is?
No. I'm going to Google it right now.
So, Nikki Six, after years of being away from, you know, the whole Motley Crue thing is kind of dissolved.
He got clean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he did get clean. And didn't you read that book too, hon?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Nikki Six. No, he's got a book out too. But anyway, he came out with this album. He's had, I think it's two albums now. I could be wrong, but 6 a.m., his new band, and they freaking rock, man.
They do.
They are good.
They were good.
I like them a lot.
They were good.
Chris, what do you know about them?
About 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
I mean, I just know that I like their songs. Okay. I like the music. I like Nikki Sixx. But, I mean, Nikki Sixx wrote pretty much, Nikki and Tommy wrote 90% of everything Motley Crue ever did.
Right. But that rumor, doesn't surprise rumor me. Has it he that's, can't play bass.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
We just actually, Chrissy and I just watched the Behind the Music from VH1 on Motley Crue like a few weeks ago.
He's not stellar. Like, yeah. He's not going to be in the Bass Player Hall of Fame for technical ability.
He's no Geddy Lee.
No, but not many people or are. Cliff. You know, he's no Les Claypool or you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No Cliff Burton.
Yeah, no
greatest Cliff bass Burton. Player of all time. Just want to get that.
You always got to throw that out there. You know, I bet I've heard you say that on podcasts probably a good five or six times.
Belated happy birthday to Cliff.
Oh, that's right. Just a couple days ago, right?
Just a few days ago, yeah. Yeah. Cliff Burton. Rest his soul. My friend forever. But, so, is it my turn?
I think so.
Yes, it is. So.
Okay. Yeah. I will do a Motley Crue concert, and I'll do it a little selfishly because we opened for them. So we opened for them at Ruth Eckert. We opened for them at Ruth Eckert Hall in Clearwater. I'm sure you guys all know where Ruth Eckert is. And it was 1997, I think. 97, 98, maybe. And so it's a big deal. You know, it's one of your favorite bands from your younger days. You know, you grew up with them, grew up listening to them, especially everything up till Dr. Feelgood, let's say. Which they were an icon. They're iconic. You know, for a while, they were the biggest band in the world. You know, that post Dr. Feelgood era of all the tours and the stuff like that, and the concert with Guns N' Roses, and that, and terribly. But they were icons. So you're sharing a stage with them, you know, opening for them. But the best part was. So we get there, and you have to do your sound check and all that kind of stuff and meet everyone. You know, this is where you're going to set up. This is what you're going to do. This is how much time you have, you know, blah, 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 all the skinny of the whole thing, how the show's going to go. So we are just kind of milling backstage. We haven't even set anything up yet. We haven't, you know, we're just waiting for the guys to open the door so we could pull our gear in. And a bus pulls up, and they get out of the bus. And they're walking down the same hallway that we're standing in. And first person off the bus is Vince. Vince is with two women with a coat draped around him. Doesn't say anything to anyone. Just walks right into his dressing room. Never saw him again until they played on stage. Mick Mars came off the bus after that. He's walking down the hallway, says hello, you know, very quiet, just exactly what you'd think Mick Mars would be. He was exactly what you would expect him to be. Very little words. Hello. Oh, how you guys doing? Nice to meet you. But, you know, right into his dressing room. They all had their own dressing room. So then Tommy and Nikki come walking down the hall. Unexpected that they're very, like six, like they're tall guys. And so they're just laughing and walking down and, like, you know, so we meet the tour manager and all that stuff and say, hey, you know, you guys, thank you for jumping on. We ended up doing more show because they didn't have an opening act for this tour. They were going into towns and having other bands open, but they hadn't had like five or six different shows filled. So we ended up doing those with them. But this particular one was the first one. This is how we got kind of hooked up with that whole circuit. We are talking to Nikki and Tommy. And, of course, my drummer, John, is a huge Tommy Lee fan. He can't even speak. Like, that's the guy. That's his guy. That's John's guy. And so we go to do the sound check, and we're sound checking after we meet them and playing songs. I turn around. And Tommy Lee is sitting next to our drummer on a stool. like really rocking out to our songs, and Nikki Sixx is standing behind me, like looking at my gear and stuff like that. And we finished doing a sound check. He's like, you guys are good, but this and this. And like Tommy Lee's given our drummer like this tip on how to do this stick thing that he does, and like rolling his toms, it's called.
Right.
It's when you can roll the different tom drums, like in this boom, like that, and just talking to them about music and hanging out with them. And then, so pre-show, there's a pre-show meal. We're sitting down. We had our sound check. Then they went out and did their sound check and then came back. And we're sitting back there, like, waiting with Nikki and Tommy. Mm-hmm. And Tommy has his little drum kit that's in the back dressing room, and Nikki has a bass, and they're playing. I don't, you know, what they're doing. And said, hey, guys, come in. So we walked in there. And then after about 15 or 20 minutes, like, I'm playing Piece of Your Action with, like, Tommy Lee's on the drums. Like, we're playing with Motley Crue, like in the same room, playing with it was like, wow, this has really happened. This is really happening right now. It's like you're all of a sudden you're out of that moment of you're not thinking about playing on stage. You're sitting in a room playing acoustic stuff with, like, that's kind of cool. And we went out, we just killed the show, crushed it, walked back in through the set change. Our couple of guys are getting all of our gear off the stage, and we go back, and that was a moment, like, in between us and them, that the tour manager came up and said, would you guys be interested in doing a half dozen shows? We can pay you, you know, all that kind of stuff, if you want to do it. Wow. And we're like, yeah, we would love that. Drop everything. Like,
a literally, half dozen
job, shows. What job? Yeah. Like, job, what job? I don't have a job. I'm going to Atlanta to play with Motley Crue. And so that was so much fun. Yeah. It was so much fun. And during the course of that, like, you kind of get to know each other, because you spend a lot of time together. And I'll tell you what, Nikki and Tommy are probably two of the smartest musicians I've ever come across. Like, they are incredibly intelligent, talented songwriters, musicians. They have this weird kinship, like brotherhood of like two band members that I probably haven't seen, like, certainly up close, but just fantastic people. And outside, Tommy and Nikki did not get clean, per se. Nikki kicked heroin because it almost killed him.
Right.
Otherwise, there was a lot of other stuff that was still happening backstage during those shows. A lot of stuff. But, yeah, definitely he did kick heroin. And he actually talked about that, like, and very openly about, you know, all the stuff that was true and was not true and all that stuff, like the, you know, the adrenaline shot to the heart that saved his life. Like, that was true. It did happen.
Yeah.
People don't realize it did happen three times.
Wow.
Like, there's only the one story. It did happen three times. And yes, he did go to the hospital. He did get the adrenaline shot to his heart, got out of the hospital, went straight to the same place, bought heroin, and did heroin within 12 hours of almost dying. Like, that's how addicted he was to that drug. You know, like, that moment didn't stop him. It's like, oh, I feel terrible because I almost died. I'm going to go do more heroin because it makes me feel good, even though I almost died. But very open, very congenial, smart, fantastic, fun guys. Just, we had the best time. I think some of the most fun that I had on the road, and everything else that happened around it was fantastic. Great. Everything that you could think of that spending a couple of weeks with Motley Crue would be, that's what it was. Like, if you could think of the absolute most horrifying yet fun things to happen, it all happens. It all happens. Right. It is. It is the extreme. And even, you know, 10 years after the girls stuff and after Dr. Feelgood,
this is years after their real peak of popularity.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
And still rocking, but it was great. Like that.
Still wow. doing it. Oof. And it was just a great time. Just so much fun. That was a very interesting moment, like that I can put in a box and always.
So how long was that stint of six shows? How long was that?
We played six shows in 10 days.
In 10 days?
Six shows in 10 days.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the flurry of it. Wow. Like your time in between shows is your drive time. Like they flew, you know, they're on a plane. We took their bus actually. Yeah. But they would fly because they had their own plane at that time. Like that, you know, they were pretty big. They had their own plane, their own pilot, their own thing. But yeah, that was it. 10 days.
You rode in Motley Crue's bus?
Yes.
Do you know what happened in that bus? Do you know the kinds of things that took place?
I know what happened when we had the bus. I don't know what happened when they had the bus. I'm sure a lot
read
of stuff.
The book.
Read the book, Tommy Land. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is a great story.
Yeah. We had
met them. You opened for Motley Crue.
Yes. Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Can you have them come to our next birthday party and play?
Well, I don't. I have to call. I'll call. I'll put out a feeler.
Hey, have Vinny.
Yeah, that was good.
Vinny, how you doing?
Yeah. I literally, and no joke. I think maybe I said five words to Vince Neil in 10. He was very reclusive. Every show was the same thing. He would get off of the transportation or all that stuff and go right straight into his dressing room. Like it was very little. And that was a time when, you know, they really didn't like him very much. The band didn't really like Vince Neil a whole lot.
That's kind of the image that you get.
There was very distinct separation. I think that was the beginning of the time when Mick Mars had some health problems start to show. Vince Neil had come back after he was gone. You know, that smash hit, "You're Invited But Your Friends Can't Come," that he had when he went solo. What a terrible song and episode in his life, I'm sure. But I don't think they didn't really converse with Vince a whole lot. It was Nikki and Tommy as kind of a set. Mick was kind of here and there, but Vince was very much just out of the bus, into the dressing room, come out for rehearsal, back in, come out for the show, gone. That was it. He wasn't around a whole lot. That's why I kind of gravitated towards Nikki and Tommy. Because those were the two guys that we sort of hung out with while we were at the venue and stuff like that. Obviously, we stayed in very different hotels than they did, so it wasn't like we were in the same hotel and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a separation with that. But, yeah, at the venue, it was pretty much Nikki and Tommy. Those were the two guys. They were very, very cordial, very inviting, and we had a great time. We had a great time. I'll never forget that. Never forget that.
Well, thanks for sharing a little bit behind the scenes type of experiences of concert goers. That's
I'm awesome. Sure there are going to be some super jealous people listening to that story.
Well, that one and the Metallica one was an amazing story too. From last time we did this,
I've had some very fortunate musical things happen in my life, you know, from playing in the band, concerts and things like that. Yeah, it's been, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Well, I think I'm going to bring this down to back to Chrissy for, I think, one of her last little mentions of a concert. And then she gets one bonus one.
Should I do them both like at the same time, yeah, back
just,
to back?
Yeah, just kind of, sure. You know, talk okay. about, I know which one you're going to go with first, but go ahead.
Okay. Number one, Van Halen, 1984 album. I call this the concert that never was for 30 years. Okay. So in, I think it was, I had to be 85 when we were getting tickets, right? 84 album, guessing it was 85. Memory's a little foggy. So this is back in the day when you waited in line overnight for concert tickets. And my two friends, Tina and Jamie, had agreed to go to Sears, Ticketron, if you remember Ticketron, and wait in line. So they get up there. They're probably, you know, number five or less in line. So they're up front, right? They're up there early. They're going to camp out. Oh, by the way, this is in the Chicago area in February. Okay. So we're talking, couldn't be more than 20 degrees outside. And they're going to stay outside overnight to get Van Halen tickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wouldn't happen today. something happened. I'm not exactly sure what. I think it was Jamie's mom found out what she was doing, drove up there and said, get home. There's no way you're staying here overnight. So, you know, my other friend wasn't going to stay there by herself. So somehow it came down to she and I, Tina and I, went up back up to Sears, Ticketron, at around 3 a.m. And the line had grown. So now there's, you know, I don't know what number we were in line, but it went down the side of the building and kind of around the wall to the like a loading dock where there was a dumpster. So that's where we were sitting. And we were freezing and, you know, just hanging out, talking to people. And at one point, somebody's passing either a bowl or a joint. And I just remember thinking to myself, don't do it. Don't do that. You know, I mean, that was never a big thing for me. But I remember saying no, you know, like get that away from me in my head kind of thing. And then not 5 minutes later, a cop comes by and he's checking out everybody in line. And I just remember thinking, oh, thank goodness I didn't. Thank goodness I said no. And so anyway. We're waiting in line, and, you know, eventually the sun comes up. We're freezing. We did not have proper clothing to be out in that cold for that long. And I remember my high school boyfriend at the time would check in on us. He would bring us like hot chocolate and stuff to, you know, make sure we were staying warm and blankets. And my friend Tina, her feet were so cold. She was almost in tears. And so my high school boyfriend brought her some moon boots. Do you remember moon boots? I don't know. Maybe if you're from Florida, you probably don't know what they are, but
watch Napoleon Dynamite. He wears moon boots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So anyway, so her feet got warmer. The sun came up. The line is moved. Not only are we kind of moving forward, but the line is growing not only in length, but in width. You know, people are saving places for their friends. So it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're like, we're never going to get up there. What's going on? And the entrance to the Ticketron was all glass doors and windows. And we finally got around the corner. We're no longer by the loading dock. We're, you know, in the front, we can see the entrance and we can see the windows kind of bowing in and out because people are leaning and pushing, trying to get in to get tickets. And, so we're standing there. It's now a roughly 10 a.m. I remember this. So we've been outside in February in Chicago for 7 hours. And somebody says they're sold out. Gone. So, yeah. And I wish Dave was on right now because when I first met him, I told him the story.
Oh, Dave White?
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, we never got tickets. And So that obviously was with Diamond Dave at the time. And I didn't get to see Van Halen until 1994 in Milwaukee with Sammy.
No.
Which was a great show.
88, and Monsters of Rock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Yeah. Monsters of Rock was also Sammy.
Yeah.
But then, it took me till 88. And then I saw him again in 94. And then lo and behold, I moved to Florida in 2015. And guess who's coming to town? Van Halen with David Lee Roth. And by the way, my friend Tina lives here in the same town in Florida. So I'm like, we have to go. It's 30 years later. It's redemption. We stood 7 hours in the cold and never got tickets. I'm like, we're going. So we did go see them. Don't ask me the name of the theater. It's in Tampa. It's outdoors. I'm sorry. I don't know the name. I'm still learning.
Chris, that would be where you would step in. What was the name of that place? Where did we go see
help.
Where was it, Chris?
I don't know the name of the theater. But anyway, so we go see him. We're all excited. And the band sounded great. But I just have to say, Diamond Dave, I love you, but it's time to stop. it's just time. I mean, it just wasn't good. We sang more than he did. He seemed like he was really struggling. I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was just that show. But anyway, so we got to see him, and that's my Van Halen story, and that's my number one pick.
And he felt like he fell over on stage at one point, like he tripped over something, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But like I said, the band was great, although Michael Anthony wasn't there. It's Wolfie, right?
Yeah.
But Dave, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I never got to see you in concert when you were great, because it's just, you really should consider something different.
Stopping. Just a different line of
stop. Just retire.
Work.
It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
30 years. She waited 30 years to see a band.
To see Dave.
Yeah. Yep. So.
And my favorite, I remember
yeah, I was,
it went. Go ahead.
No, I was 14th, 5th when Van Halen broke up from David Lee. So I never got to see them with David Lee Roth.
Oh, wow. Until we went all together.
Did I?
They weren't there.
Oh, that yeah. was Mike and Tina. That wasn't Chris.
Just Mike and Tina, yeah.
Oh, I thought you guys went with us.
Oh, I would have never.
You wouldn't have seen.
I would not have seen. No, and I'll tell you why. I would not have seen him because I saw David Lee Roth after he broke up with Van Halen when he was on his tour.
Was that
whatever.
Eat Him and Smile.
Whatever it was.
Crazy
I don't know.
From the
Crazy from the Heat. That's the one.
It was.
I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go.
It was the one after. Eat Him and Smile. He had another one after that.
Oh yeah,
Skyscraper. And yeah, and it was awful.
Skyscraper was bad.
Absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. Like, I think he lost his voice in the late 80s, honestly. I really do. I think
yeah,
he lost his voice in the late 80s.
I don't think it was because he's just a bad performer. I just think like something physically is going on there and he just it's just gone, yeah.
Yeah, he was awful 30 years before that. Like, yeah, he was. I hate to say it. I really do. But he was just, for some reason, somewhere in his time, he lost his voice. It just, he blew it out somehow. And it just was never the same later. It happens. You know? It's a muscle.
I'll never forget his buttless pants, though.
Never. Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, what... Chrissy, remind me, what poster was on your ceiling or on your wall?
It was on my ceiling, and I don't know. It was just him with his long blonde hair. I don't really remember what he was wearing. I didn't have a buttless poster in my bedroom, though, because I'm pretty sure my parents wouldn't have allowed that one. But
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Ah.
She has one now, though.
Right.
Yeah, it's really, I wake up in the middle of the night and I see this poster on the ceiling. I'm like, damn.
I know. And it's not of you. That's the terrible part. <Yeah. laughs> Okay, so I want to give Chrissy a bonus pick.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I think we're all kind of wrapped up for the night, other than okay. Chrissy's last bonus pick. So we're going to go let Chrissy talk a little bit more, and then we'll wrap things up.
Okay, so my number four, actually it's higher than that, but it's not from the 80s. The concert was in 2009. But it's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, which was a big icon in the 80s. And they're one of my all-time favorite bands. And we got to see them at Summerfest in Milwaukee. And we got ninth row seats. It was fantastic. I just want to throw this out here. Really, my motivation in mentioning this concert is to plug a dog rescue.
It's not Greyhounds.
No, it's not. It's not. It's any dog. But Scott and I are involved in a greyhound rescue. And we got these seats, these awesome ninth row seats for way less than you would normally pay on eBay. And the way that we got them is through an organization called the Tazzy Fund, which Mike Campbell and his wife run, this is my understanding, and it's an animal rescue. I don't think it's exclusive to dogs, but it's a lot of dogs, of course. And the actual name of it, if you want to find it on Facebook, is called Rock the Dogs. And so what they do, this is my theory, is they put aside so many tickets to put on eBay through this Tazzy Fund, and then you get to bid on them, and it's a lot less than what you'd pay to just buy it from wherever.
Yeah.
And a percentage of it, I don't know the percentage, goes to the dog or the animal rescue. So I thought that was really cool. So spending the amount of money, I won't say what we spent, but the amount we spent, I would never spend that much to go to a concert. But knowing, like, you know, it's Tom Petty, that was worth it. It was totally worth it. And then knowing that part of it went to rescue animals made it all the much, you know, that much better. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So again, on Facebook, it's Rock the Dogs. And I guess on eBay, it's the Tazzy Fund. So there. And Mike Campbell, by the way, is now playing with Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah. They parted ways with Lindsey Buckingham again.
Right.
And they're all Florida Gators.
That's right. Well, Tom Petty and Mike Campbell are from Gainesville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because you, like, as much as I know that you love Tom Petty, like, late 80s and early 90s, going, like, back and forth to Gainesville, we saw Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers play in the Purple Porpoise Club.
Wow.
They used to do sets in town in Gainesville before they would go on their tour. That was their test ground for their set list.
Wow.
And the live show. was, and they always played at the Purple Porpoise right in Gainesville. I saw them twice in
a club.
That's
just fun to say, Purple Porpoise.
Purple Porpoise.
Purple Porpoise.
Yes, the Purple Porpoise right on University. And so, yeah, that would be it was fun that to see like Tom Petty and Heartbreakers in a bar that seats like 100 people.
You know, that's always, you always hear about stories like that where suddenly some big, huge band just shows up at a little tiny venue and just does a little set. And
so
you're like,
yeah.
Why couldn't I have been there? why wasn't I?
Too quick. Yeah. Two quick things real quick. Two quick things real quick. There's a good side to that, and there's a bad side to that. The good fun side is that is Metallica, after they would play in a show, and they stopped doing it like around the Black Album time. Mm-hmm. They stopped doing that, so early 90s. After the show, they would go to a club in that town and play a concert under an assumed name. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know it was them until they got on stage and played. They would play a set in a bar. They did that after every single show. They would play in the same town in a little club somewhere close to where they were playing. They would go and play, like, which is really cool because you would never know. You just happened to be in a bar that night and like, oh, who's the band? Oh, I don't know, Schlepprock. And oh, whatever. You know, and you're having your beer and all of a sudden you come up and it's Metallica on stage. Like, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The bad part of that is seeing Stephen Piercy in a bar in Ybor City.
All right. Thank you. We gotta bring this around to this story. This is good stuff.
Playing in a band called Arcade. Yeah. If you remember Stephen Piercy from Rat, when Rat dissolved, he started a band called Arcade. And so we're in Ybor City and we wanted to go see him. It's Stephen Piercy, you know, it's Rat. And it was like early 90s. And we walk into the place and walk up to the bar. And who's sitting at the bar drinking? Stephen Piercy. There was four people in the club, not including the staff. And Stephen Piercy sitting at a bar doing shots and drinking beer. So we sit down and we're that year Stephen Piercy. You know, and he got so drunk before the show that no one knew where he was. He never played.
Oh, the band.
Yeah. And I never heard from about Arcade, like, ever. No, he just, like, he I think he left the venue. He, like, or he was drunk and didn't know where he was, or just walked away, or no one could find him, or he was passed out in the corner somewhere. Like, he just left. He was gone. They never played. They never showed up. Like, it was just insanity. He's so just, I feel sorry for those guys because that's the last thing that they have. That's all they ever did. And when it goes away for some of them, I mean, it goes away. It's hard to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many stories of that. I decided at one point I never wanted to be the guy that was playing cover songs at 50 in a club. Like I didn't want to do that. When it was done, it was done. Left it behind. But there's a funny, just poor Stephen Piercy, you know, from the height of rock and roll stardom to, you know, six people in a club. And I think that was it. There was no one to see him.
Yeah. That pushed him over the edge.
And he just drank himself over the edge to say, this is it. Like, okay, my career is over. I'm in Tampa, Florida in a club and there's six people in the bar. It's done for me. Yeah. Like that. And maybe it was just one of those moments of clarity. Like, okay, my career is over. This is it. This is it. I went from playing in front of 30,000 people to six. And I don't know.
Yikes.
Never. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you want to call it a sobering moment, but for Stephen, it was the opposite. It was I'm going to drink and disappear moment. Like just, but oh, so sad. So sad.
Okay, so
It would have been fun for you. It would have been fun for you, Chrissy, to see Tom Petty like in a bar setting, like if you lived in Florida in that time period.
I might have just passed out. I don't know. If I was like if it was unexpected and he showed up, I don't know. I might have just you might have needed a stretcher to get me out of there. I don't know.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, hon.
Okay, I just had two more thoughts. Going back to Tommy Lee, his book is called Tommyland that I read. I recommend it. And I also want to recommend Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, a documentary called Running Down the Dream, or Running Down a Dream. It's very good. I learned a lot watching that.
Yeah, that was really well. That was good stuff. That Running Down a Dream is an amazing documentary.
Yeah.
So on our previous show about concerts, we were going to have a little thing about between Chris and Robin. We're going to swap stories about Stephen Piercy. Robin, what was your side of the story?
Well, so I had an aha moment where you said Stephen Piercy, and it like clicked in my head, and I was all, ooh, 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 I have a story too. And then many days later, I realized actually it's not Stephen Piercy who I was thinking of. It was Stephen Perkins, who was the drummer of Jane's Addiction. I have a Stephen Perkins story, not a Stephen Piercy story.
Oh, that's good stuff.
So totally got the person wrong, Stephen.
So what is your Stephen Perkins story? You have to indulge us now.
When we were talking about Motley Crue, everyone was focused on Vince and Tommy, but I liked Nikki Sixx. Like, I always went for the underdog kind of thing. And okay. So I felt like nobody paid attention to the drummer of Jane's Addiction, because how could you look past Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro? But he was doing crazy stuff back there and was just an interesting guy. And I went through this sort of minor fatuation with him. So first Lollapalooza, 1991, this was our first go round back before, you know, the world was the insane place that it is now. And the security was really lax. And so we were hanging out by the gate, just trying to see people and meet people. And he came out, and I thought he was totally like looking at me, like coming and approaching me and the people that I was with to have a conversation. And then like something straight out of a late 80s sad rom-com movie, I realized, no, he was looking at, you know, the women who were half naked behind us. And he was just totally like, hey, and I swear to God, you guys, he like patted me on the head like I was a child to get past me to go with the half naked chicks, you know? And it was like, I mean, you could almost physically live in person hear the sad trombone music as he walked by and patted me on the head like a dog or a small child.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it is what it is.
That flooded my brain with about 100 personal stories exactly like that, but from the opposite perspective.
That's funny stuff.
Boy.
That makes me think of the show we've been watching, or we've watched it a couple times now. It's a TV show on Amazon called Red Oaks. and it's set back in the 80s, and it just has so many of those moments that are out of the 80s movies, like they stole them out of the 80s movies, you know, music montages of training for tennis or whatever. So it's a funny show, but it just made me think of that. It was so funny. Just walked, like, stepped right past you.
Well, and I probably never would have even put myself in that position. But if you remember from our last show, I don't know if the story made it on air, but I had told the story about how I got smashed in the mosh pit.
Yes.
And I was literally mm-hmm. bleeding down the front of my shirt,
yeah.
and like the crowd parted, and you know, like I was getting mucho respect, and to coin a modern phrase, like I was very much feeling myself, you know, like
yeah.
I survived the mosh pit. I was bloody. I just felt like super cool at that moment. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go land that drummer. And he just patted me on the head like I was something to walk
so
around.
Funny. Oh my god!
I got punched in the face at a ZZ Top concert.
Oh, yikes!
Awkward.
Yeah, they already have a mosh pit.
It was like, of all concerts, ZZ Top. Like,
give me all your loving. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'm gonna wrap this up. So. This has been a lot of fun again. I want to thank all of you for coming back, and well, Chris and Robin for coming back, and my lovely wife Chrissy for joining us, because she had so much to add. I'm really happy that you joined us for this. So all of you guys are awesome. You've told some great stories. Is there anything else you guys want to add at the end here? You know, any little honorable mentions of any bands or anything that we should keep an eye out for bands that might be returning or anything like that? You got anything?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Who wants to go first? Somebody wants to go. Chrissy, you want to go? Go for it.
Okay. Little River Band is coming to Ruth Eckert Hall again.
Oh yeah, we saw them last year.
Awesome. Oh, with Pablo Cruz. Yes. So
again,
there. That's it.
Yeah. Same group.
We,
that was awesome.
We saw them, was it last year or the year before, and it was a really, really good show. So that's
it. It was like a year ago.
Okay.
Like February
okay.
last year. Yeah, it was good. That was a good show, man. I didn't realize I liked the Little River Band as much as I did until I saw them. And Pablo Cruz too. They put on a heck of a show. They were more of a jam band.
They did.
It's
very, very good. Highly recommend it.
Very good musicians. Robin, you got anything to add?
My honorable mention is I saw NXS in 1993.
Ooh, fun.
It was a great show. And,
I saw them twice.
Oh, so good. And so my little moment of glory was I showed up sort of late, and I happened to walk past where the band got off the bus and entered the venue, and so I walked past right as NXS was coming off the bus, mm-hmm. and so I yelled, "Michael, I love you," and he said, "I love you too." And it was like the best moment of my life for like the next 3 days. And then I just want to note, I want it recorded for posterity that I was so entertained by all of Chrissy's stories and about how so many of them, she's like, my memory is a little fuzzy. And I just want to say, Chrissy, how much shenanigans did you get up to?
That's for another show.
Uh-oh.
Let's just say I had a lot of fun in the 80s.
Clearly.
That's awesome. Chris, do you got anything to add?
I'm sure I do, but it would probably be very long and drawn out. But
we'll all have to get together again and talk about more music stuff. Maybe not concerts. We'll have to pick something that's related. But yeah.
Yeah, I have two very funny stories that like the story that Robin just told about like being patted on the head, but from the other perspective.
Oh,
and
were you
very
like
funny.
Just kind of dismiss somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did that?
I did. couple times.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I was not the nice. I was not the nice person that I am now. My wife just said, "Uh-uh." She heard that. She said, "Uh-uh."
I got dismissed by Macaulay Shanker once.
Yeah.
At Penny Road Pub in Barrington, Illinois. But anyway, go on.
Robin Macaulay.
Robin, whatever.
Robin what Macaulay. Yeah.
Whatever.
Macaulay Shanker.
Oh, Macaulay Shanker Group. See. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
MSG, his
See
name
how
is
important
Robin
he
Macaulay.
Is to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you did. I mean, okay. I'm sorry, honey. You said you're the guy that sang this song.
I know, because I didn't know who he was. And so Scott said, what? You know that song, la la la, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's you. You sing that? And he was like, started backing away from me like I was crazy.
It was a very small venue, by the way. Very
and I'm
small.
Thinking, you should be glad we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be glad we're one of the six people that showed up to see this.
Exactly.
Travis. Yeah.
Stephen Piercy.
Stephen. Talking to you, Stephen. You want to hear something even more funny about that whole thing? We got the tickets for free from Specs Music in St. Pete. Like, you could walk up to the counter and they were like, we bought a couple of things and like, hey, you want two tickets to see Arcade in Ybor? Yeah, sure. Like, we would have never gone to that concert if the guy behind the counter at Specs Music didn't, like, give us two tickets to see them. Like, we wouldn't have paid to see that. They were free.
Oh, my God. You're just making it more sad.
It is. It's so sad, isn't it? It's just so sad. Poor Steven. Oh, boy. Nobody rides for free.
You got to wrap it there, Scott. That was perfect.
Rim shot.
That is a wrap. Thank you guys for joining me and us and doing this show again. It's been a freaking blast. Check our website out, Banzai Retro Club. You can download all of our previous shows. Robin, do you want to give out some credentials or anything like that where we can find you on social media, whatnot?
Sure. If you are in the area, come see us at St. Pete Podcasters, stpetepodcasters.com. Or you can find me talking about ridiculousness like this on most social media at Robin Sales.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Robin, and we've had a lot of fun together just chit-chatting after the podcast meetings, what we do down in St. Pete. And Chris got to meet you in person last time we went, did the thing. So we'll definitely be seeing you at the next meetup.
Yay!
And Chris, you got anything to add? Yes. Social media stuff or anything?
Twitter, Christopher Zen. So, yeah, still if you good. Can handle it, mm-hmm. follow me.
Yeah.
It's fun.
If you like gator stuff.
I was just about to say, be prepared for a lot of gators nonsense.
Yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot of nonsense, that's for sure. But yeah, it is. I will be there too on the. I think it's Wednesday the 27th.
Wednesday the 27th is the next one.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
And I can't wait to learn about Zoom.
Zoom?
Yeah, Zoom.
Like the
come on
conference
a Zoom,
call
Zoom, app. Zoom, Zoom.
Are you talking about the like conference call
yes.
application? Okay, yes. I use that at work all the time.
Yes. And
yeah.
I'm considering switching over from Skype to Zoom, and Robin knows all about that. And the next speaker that we have coming in is somebody that is going to talk about Zoom, right, Robin?
Yep. Okay. Yep. She's specifically going to talk about using Zoom to record your podcast and podcast interviews.
Right.
Oh, fun.
It's super user-friendly.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I'm always looking for something, you know, nice and easy to use for these types of situations. So anyway, that is all. Everybody have a wonderful evening. And we like to say something at the end of all of our Banzai Retro show or Retro Club shows, and that is be excellent to each other. Take care.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!